بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his nation from whatever he feared for his nation. We're still going over the book, our history from the beginning. We have been talking about a great prophet of Allah, Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. And in our last class, we mentioned that Prophet Musa alayhi salam met with Al-Khadir alayhi salam, and certain things happened between them. What prompted this meeting is that it is narrated that Prophet Musa was asked by some Israelites, who is the most knowledgeable person on earth today? And Prophet Musa said, I am, because that's as far as he knows. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Musa that there was a man who has a lot of knowledge, who is Al-Khadir. And Prophet Musa alayhi salam, when he heard that such a person existed, he was very anxious to meet. He was very longing to meet this man Al-Khadir, to learn from him. And then he took the trip with his servant Yusha, or Joshua, the son of An-Nun, of son of Nun. And then they met Al-Khadir at an area where two bodies of water, two rivers met. Al-Khadir told Musa that he should not ask about anything that happened until Al-Khadir himself initiates the explanation. And Musa alayhi salam did not keep what he promised. He, of course, had some excuse, as we're going to mention a little bit, in doing what he did. And then they departed. Al-Imam An-Nawawi, in his explanation of Sharh Sahih Muslim, when he was explaining the long hadith that talks about the details of the meeting between Al-Khadir and Musa, he said that the scholars mentioned some benefits, some lessons that could be learned from such a meeting between these two great men. He said one of those benefits is that it is recommended religiously for a person to travel, to go away from his own area to the area where knowledge is being given. So this is al-rihla fi talab al-ilm, to travel seeking religious knowledge. This is recommended. And Prophet Musa alayhi salam asked, when he received the revelation, where would I find this man so that he would learn from him? Also, the benefit is that it is also recommended, even if you have knowledge, to get more knowledge, to increase your knowledge, to seek more knowledge. even if the person is a scholar and this scholar is well rooted in knowledge, it is still recommended for him or her to exert more effort to acquire more of this religious knowledge. And of course, this incident or this meeting between Al-Khadir and Musa shows the merit of seeking knowledge, shows that seeking knowledge, religious knowledge, has a great value. Also, he said among the benefits that we could reap from this meeting is that it is permissible for a person who is going on a trip to prepare provisions for this trip, whatever is needed on that trip, during that trip, to be prepared for such, you know, matters. For example, Prophet Musa and Yusha, they carried with them in a container a salted fish so that whenever they needed to eat, they find food to eat. Another benefit that Al-Imam An-Nawawi mentioned is that how a student should behave with the teacher, the manners that the seeker of knowledge is expected to lead when they are in the company of their teacher, to show respect, to avoid objecting to the teacher, to make ta'wil to whatever the teacher says or does, you know, thinking well of the teacher, even though the apparently the words or the actions of the teacher seem to be wrong, to say maybe when he said that, he meant so and so. He did this, maybe he had a reason for doing it. To find a good interpretation of the seemingly wrong words or wrong moves of the teacher. Also, for the seeker of knowledge, when giving a promise, to fulfill that promise. In the case of Prophet Musa, he said that he would not object, he would not comment on anything that happens until Al-Khadir himself initiated that explanation. So for three times, three incidents happened in the meeting, Prophet Musa did not keep that promise. So it's important to fulfill your promise to your teacher. Then he said, during the trip, if you remember, they came to a village and they needed to eat. So they asked people to give them food. So he said you could learn a ruling from this, is that it's permissible for the person who is in need of food and needs, you know, means he cannot, you know, find food to eat and they have to eat, to ask people for that food. It is permissible to do that. If the person doesn't need it, then of course he doesn't ask for it. Also, it's permissible to rent a ship, for example, to ride. That is something that can be taken from that meeting. It is permissible to board a ship or to ride an animal or to live in a house if the owner allows you of the ship to board it, of the house to live in it, of the animal to ride it. If the owner allows you for free, it is allowed for you to use such things without paying money because the owner allows it. And you know that Musa alayhi salam and Al-Khadir boarded that ship and the owner did not charge them. And why he did not charge them? Because they knew Al-Khadir. They knew Al-Khadir was a righteous person. So it is also, they said, if someone is known for his merit and others want to honor this person, they want to do something for him, like take him for free on a ride, then it's allowed, permissible for this meritorious person, to this knowledgeable person, to accept the offer that day. There is no prohibition about doing it. From what Musa alayhi salam said, we learn that a person, when asked about his knowledge, he needs to be humble. Musa alayhi salam said, I am the most knowledgeable person. He didn't say it arrogantly. He said it as, you know, stating a fact as far as his information is, you know, concerned. But they said it's better to say Allah knows best. It's better to say, somebody says, who's the most knowledgeable person here? And although he knows that he is, knows more than others, it's better to say Allah knows best. This is humbleness. The person needs to do that. Also, Imam An-Nawawi mentioned that it is permissible for the person to judge things the way they appear. Islamically, we just judge things by their appearances. Means if a person is drinking alcohol, I'm not going to try to wreck my mind to say, oh, maybe he doesn't, he forgot, or I don't have to. If I see him doing something apparently wrong, it is okay for me to say he is doing something wrong. This is allowed. Okay. Musa, when he saw the Al-Khadir taking a plank of the ship, to him apparently the ship is being, you know, ruined. When the boy was killed, when he fixed the wall, so he objected to that, or he spoke about it from what he saw apparently. Also, it is okay for a person who has a higher rank to use the services of a person of a lower rank. For example, Musa alayhi salam had his boy with him, his servant Yusha, who later became a prophet. So he was using his services. He told him, you know, he made him carry the fish on the trip. And then when he felt hungry, he said, you know, give us the meal. Let's eat. We're hungry. So it's allowed for a person, such a person, to use the services of a person who's lower in status than himself. Also, it is allowed the person who is accompanying a better person to act in a mannerly way. For example, Joshua was polite with Prophet Musa alayhi salam. He was carrying the salted fish on the trip. He, you know, when he was asked about the food, he said, okay, I saw the fish jumped out of the container. So he was polite. So it's important to be polite with better people than oneself. Doesn't mean that you have to be rude with people like yourself or lower, but that's a lesson to be learned from the trip of Musa to meet Al-Khadir. And he mentioned other things. Yes, one important matter that he mentioned is the obligation, as he said, is very important. It is the obligation to submit to everything the religion brings, even if the wisdom of such things are not understood. Even if we don't understand the wisdom beyond some of the matters of the religion, or all of them, we believe that there is wisdom in the matters of the religion, and we submit to them, we don't object to them. For example, Islam prohibits eating pig meat, and some people may not understand the wisdom behind this prohibition. Some may tell you that, okay, pig meat, the swine usually contracts diseases, the worm and other things. And someone may tell you, okay, no, nowadays we have all this, you know, equipment, it cooks the meat, and the, whatever disease supposed to be contracted is taken care of. Despite the claim of having equipment that makes the meat clear of diseases, still the Muslim says, Allah said this is prohibited, then there is a wisdom in making it prohibited. And imagine all these millions of people who don't have this equipment. So what do? They wait till the equipment come, It's halas, it's prohibited. There is wisdom in prohibiting eating pig meat and other things. So those are some points that An-Nawawi radiyallahu anhu mentioned that could be learned from the meeting of Al-Khadir alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam. He said one thing. He said those who believe Al-Khadir was not a prophet, just a wali, in this meeting, there is a proof that there are karamas for the wali, because Al-Khadir apparently did something extraordinary. So there is a proof that there are karamas, because some people deny the existence of karamas for wali. But as we said, the strong saying is that Al-Khadir is a prophet and he's still alive. Also, we mentioned, so these are points about the meeting of Al-Khadir and Musa. And then we mentioned things about a relative of Prophet Musa named Qarun. We said that this guy was arrogant. He had a lot of wealth. He would go out showing off, claiming that he was accepted by Allah. And the proof is that Allah gave him all this wealth. He fabricated something against Prophet Musa. He hired a woman to say that Prophet Musa committed zina with her, but then he was exposed. Also, he committed blasphemy. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of him, made upon the dua of Musa, the earth opened up and swallowed him with all of his property and followers. And he got his demise, his ending. So this is what we mentioned in the previous class. Inshallah, today we will continue saying more things about this great prophet of Allah, Musa alayhi salam. The author, may Allah have mercy on her, said, Prophet Moses was full of merits. Prophet Moses, Musa, was full of merits. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned many merits of Prophet Musa. He, our Prophet Muhammad, told the story that those Israelites used to bathe naked. The members of the children of Israel, when they took bath, they used to take bath and everybody looks at the aura of someone else. Like they're just naked, just like some people nowadays do. So they were able to see the naked bodies of their bathing friends. However, Prophet Musa alayhi salam used to bathe alone, away from the eyes of people. And of course, he didn't want to see the aura of other people. And he didn't want to have his aura exposed to others. A person who's sneaky, you know, sly, he said to people, what keeps Moses from bathing with us? Except that he has a defect in his body, which he wants to keep hidden from us. He said that there's something wrong about Musa's body, and Musa is not sure, you know, bathing with us to hide this defect. And he meant his private parts. So this sly remark, of course, urged some people to think about it and to think poorly about our noble prophet Musa alayhi salam. One time, Prophet Musa was bathing and he put his clothes on a stone, and the stone moved away with the clothing. He just took the clothing. The clothing were on it, so the stone moved and the clothes of Prophet Musa were on the stone. And Prophet Musa saw it, so he wanted to get his clothes. He followed the stone and crying, Hajaru, Hajaru, Thawbi, you know, oh stone, my clothes, my clothes. And then, of course, he was bathing, so he was naked, he didn't have his clothes, so he ran after the stone. And the people who were in the area looked, they saw Musa running naked, and they saw his private parts, and they said, oh, there is nothing wrong with him. There is nothing wrong with Musa alayhi salam. So Musa was focusing on getting his clothes. He didn't pay attention that he was naked. But the people saw him. And when Musa got to the stone, he was, you know, of course, angry with it. He kept on beating up the stone until he, you know, left marks in it. Abu Huraira, who's reporting the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, by God, I swear by God, that stone had 6 or 7 marks left on it as a result of the hitting of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. To leave marks on a stone means the beating was very intense. Now, this hadith brings many benefits. One is that the prophets do not have any physical handicaps and defects. Remember that we said prophets have certain attributes. They do not commit blasphemy. They do not commit enormous sins. They do not commit small sins that show, you know, meanness or lowliness of character. We said that the prophets are truthful. They are trustworthy. They are intelligent, so they're not slow. And they are courageous, noble, etc. And of course, in general, they are protected from having any qualities that make people repelled from them, to go away from them, not to want to be in their, you know, vicinity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for that stone to do that to the clothing, to, of course, clear Musa of the accusations that people had. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his prophets, so they have no hidden defects or apparent defects. They have no physical defects or even, you know, moral defects. They are perfect humans. Al-Qadi Iyad said, the prophets are clear from any defects and handicaps in both shape and manners. No attention, he said, is paid to historians who report things saying that prophets had handicaps. Rather, the case is that God made them clear of all defects. They were clear of everything which the eyes of the people would judge as ugly and repulsive. And this statement of Al-Imam Al-Qadi Iyad was narrated by An-Nawawi when he was explaining the Sahih of Muslim. And after he reported this, he narrated it with the sanad, then he said, and he approved of it, seconded it. He said, that's what the prophets are. The author said, the death of Aaron and Moses. Prophet Harun, or Aaron, died before Prophet Moses. Remember, Harun is older brother to Moses. He was born before Musa. But here, he died before his brother Musa. During the time when the Israelites were lost. Remember, they were lost for 40 years. So all of these important events that we have been telling you happened during their period of loss. After Harun died, some of the children of Israel disgustedly accused Prophet Musa of killing his own brother. They said, you killed Harun. And Prophet Musa said, waylakum, woe to you. You say that I killed my own brother, and what, he is a prophet and his brother is a prophet. So how could they think of such a disgusting accusation? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to clear Musa alayhi salam, because those people persisted on their accusation, Musa made a dua to expose the truth to these people. Allah brought made the body of Harun rise above a platform, and everybody saw the body of Harun alayhi salam. So they learned that Musa was truthful, he did not kill his brother. Also Al-Bukhari and Muslim radiyallahu anhuma narrated that one time Angel Azrael, the angel who pulls the souls of people out, angel of death, came to Prophet Musa. And when he came in a shape of a person, and Musa did not recognize him, didn't know, because it's human shape. And so Musa thought that this man is about to attack him. So Musa alayhi salam poked the eye of the angel who was in the shape of a man. So his eye was popped out. Then Azrael, of course, spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah returned his eye to him. He told him Musa did that. Then Azrael went back to Musa, and this time, of course, Musa recognized him. He asked Musa alayhi salam, "Do you want to live? If you want to live, put your hand on the skin of an ox." And he told him that the number of hairs on the area which your hand covers will be the number of years that you will live. So if you put your hand on the skin of an ox, there is a lot of hair under it. So if you count the number of hairs, then this will be the number of years that you would live in the future. Prophet Musa alayhi salam asked, after that, what would happen? So if I live that long, let's say there were 200 hairs there or 500 hairs. So I live that long, then what happens after those expire? Angel of death, Azrael alayhi salam, said, then you will die. Prophet Musa said, then let it be now. If it's going to be death later, death now. So let it happen now. And then Prophet Musa alayhi salam, his soul was taken out and he died at that. The grave of Prophet Musa is near a red hill, as narrated by Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. And it is next to a road, and the road is in an area in Palestine called Jericho or Ariha. There is a mosque there that carries the Prophet Musa's name, where he is buried. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the honor of meeting these two great prophets, Prophet Musa and his brother, Prophet Harun. By this, we finish talking about these two great prophets. The author said, chapter 21, Prophet Joshua, Yusha, alayhi salam. After Prophet Musa died, Allah chose Prophet Joshua. Allah chose Joshua as a prophet. And his name in Arabic, or Yusha, Joshua, Ibn Nun, the son of Nun. It is said that he was a descendant of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. When Yusha was young, he was the man who accompanied Prophet Musa to meet Al-Khadir, as we already said. Later, Prophet Musa alayhi salam asked Yusha to go ahead of them, means of the Israelite, to fight the unjust, blasphemous people. Yusha went into Jericho, into Ariha, and killed the unjust tyrants there. And those tyrants were from Sam's offspring, means the son of Noah, but were not Arabs. You know how people say Arabs and Jews and are children of Sam? So those ones that Yusha fought and killed and was victorious over them, although they were descendants from Sam, but they were not from the Arab branch, were the other branch. Joshua killed some, but some of them remained when it was close to the time of the sun to set. So in the past, of course, it was hard for people to fight at night. Most of the fighting took place during daytime. So Joshua hasn't finished his battle. He was victorious over the enemies, but the sun was about to set, and then the battle may stop. So Prophet Yusha alayhi salam asked Allah, made a dua, to hold back the sun from setting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled the request of Yusha until he killed them all and was victorious over them. So that was a miracle for Prophet Yusha alayhi salam. And Prophet Yusha took care, was managing the affairs of the Israelites until he died. Of course, he did that when, after Musa already had died, because he became a prophet after the death of Musa alayhi salam. He was not a messenger, so he did not bring a new rules, a new set of laws, did not bring a sharia. So what was he following? The sharia that Prophet Musa brought in At-Tawrah. Now, probably the grave of Prophet Yusha alayhi salam is on a small mountain in Lebanon next to Tripoli. There is a mountain called Jabal Turbul. So most probably the grave there is the grave of Prophet Yusha in Lebanon, in a town called Al-Minya or Minyi. People claim that Prophet Yusha is buried in other locations. So some people say, no, Yusha is buried there and there. But this location is the most, the scholars, they say the most probable place that he was buried in. If you go there in the mountain, it's very long. I mean, you see the grave is very long, so he must have been very tall, alayhi salam. Chapter 22, the author said, Prophets Elijah, Elias, and Elisha, Elyasa. Prophet Elijah is Elias, the son of Yasin. It is said that he was a descendant of Prophet Harun. God sent him as a prophet to the Israelites after the death of another prophet called Hizqiel. There were other prophets sent, of course, to the Israelites, many. Two of those were Armia and Ash'iya. Armia and Ash'iya are two prophets. We mentioned already Yusha, we mentioned Elias, and we mentioned Hizqiel, and there were others. Now, after this prophet Hizqiel died, the Israelites started to contradict At-Tawrah, not to follow the teachings. So Allah sent them another prophet to bring them back to obey Allah. He sent to them Elias or Elijah. Now, Musa received At-Tawrah. After Musa, the only messenger that came with a new set of rules or sharia was Jesus, Isa alayhi salam. So between these two great messengers, Musa and Isa, there were no messengers. So everyone until Isa showed up was following the rules of At-Tawrah. Although, for example, as we're going to mention later, Prophet David received a book called Az-Zabur. Az-Zabur was not a book of rules, was a book that contained, words of wisdom. So it was not a book of a new sharia. So any prophet who came after Musa was implementing, carrying out the rules of At-Tawrah that Musa received. Yusha alayhi salam, of course, ordered the people to worship Allah, to be obedient to Allah. He forbade them from worshiping idols. It was stated that the people whom Elias was sent to were the people of Baalbek in Lebanon, Baalbek. They used to worship an idol, they call it Baal, B-A, and the Ayn and the L, Ba'ayn Lam. And that's why the area is called Baalbek, and Elias was sent to them. So there is an area called Ber Elias, so maybe because of that. Most of the people rejected Elias or Elijah. Only few believed in him. Among his followers was a man called Elisha, or as called in Al-Quran, Ilyasa'. After Elias died, Ilyasa' became a prophet. Allah chose him to be a prophet. He, Ilyasa', stayed with the people, calling them to worship Allah, to be obedient to him, to leave blasphemy, until he died. He kept on doing that. Inshallah, next class, we will talk about Prophet Dawood, alayhi salatu wassalam. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim.